Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts. Here at Branching Minds, we know all over this country there are administrators and teachers doing the extraordinary work of transforming school communities, making a difference for students each and every day. There's no better way to begin our podcast than featuring some of these remarkable educators. For these first episodes, our Voices from the Field series, we will feature a few education rock stars who are leaders in their school communities, doing the service to support students and teachers. Today, we begin our podcast with a conversation with Donna Cross, an educational leader in Evanston-Skokie School District 65 in Illinois, where she has served as the director of MTSS and SEL for the past 5 years. Donna began her teaching career in the Chicago Public Schools and has also taught in Duval County Public Schools in Jacksonville, Florida. She received her master's in teaching from Dominican University and her master's in school leadership from Harvard Graduate School of Education. Donna brings with her a vast array of educational experience, ranging from elementary to adult education, as you'll hear in our conversation. Throughout this episode, we reference the term MTSS. If you aren't familiar with MTSS or multi-tiered system of supports, it basically is a system-level structure or framework that a school or district might adopt to provide support for all students. MTSS helps educators identify students' academic, behavioral, and social-emotional strengths and challenges to provide differentiated support for students based on their needs. MTSS grew out of the integration of two other intervention-based frameworks, Response to Intervention, or RTI, and Positive Behavior Interventions and Supports, or PBIS. Now for my conversation with Donna. Today on the podcast, we have Donna Cross from Evanston-Skokie School District in Illinois. Welcome, Donna. We're so glad to have you here. And, you know, just starting out, we'd love to get to know you and how long you've been in education and just your role within your district.
Absolutely. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me. So I am currently the director of MTSS and SEL for the district here in Evanston. I am actually originally from Jacksonville, Florida. So I did the opposite of what everyone else does, going from, you know, the Midwest to the North, moving down South. I did the other way. and I've been in Chicago since 2009. I've been in education about 13 years. I've taught in Chicago Public Schools. I also taught in Duval County Public Schools in Jacksonville, Florida, where I'm from. I was also did, you know, my leadership training in Boston. So I definitely did some work there in Boston Public Schools, and then went back to Chicago Public Schools to be a school leader for a few years. And the past 5 years I've been here in Evanston, really loving this district role. This is year six. So I've been here 5 years. Oh my goodness. Time flies.
Wow. So what grade level did you teach when you taught?
Ooh, that's a fun question. So I have taught a range, a very big range. I taught second grade, which was the youngest I went, but most of my experiences in the middle and high school. I taught middle school math. I've taught middle and high school ELA and middle and high school social studies. So all the different social studies, ancient history, world history, geography, U.S. history, and advanced U.S. history. I also taught drama and journalism is my extras. And then I taught college level algebra and composition in a men's prison, actually.
Wow. Your range of experience. I love that. I also love meeting former middle school teachers because I was a middle school teacher myself. Absolutely. And I feel like those middle school teachers are just different because we don't necessarily fit with elementary
but we're definitely not the same as high school teachers. And so it sounds like you have lots of experience, and I'm sure lots of really great stories of
absolutely
all the different
levels. Middle school teachers are definitely built different. we're glutton for punishment, but we love it. I always look at my younger elementary, that K-1, and I've subbed in, I subbed for a year, so I subbed in all those different classes as well. But I look at those younger educators like, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how to do it. And they say the same thing to me, like, how do you deal with middle schoolers? And it's like, I guess you gotta have that in your heart. So
I know. And middle school, it is a glutton for punishment, because they, ask any parent of a middle schooler. Yeah. And yeah. Sometimes they'll talk to you, sometimes they won't. And I love middle school. They're, it was always a really fun, I always had fun. That was
absolutely love the challenge.
Guaranteed. Yes, it was challenging and fun. Well, thanks for sharing about that. So you now are a district level MTSS and SEL coordinator. Describe sort of your current school district. I'm not as familiar with the Evanston, Skokie area. So what kind of demographics do you have in your school district?
So Evanston is just really, honestly, a wonderful place to work. It's the first suburb north of Chicago. So it's Chicago adjacent. It's very connected to the city. Northwestern is located here. It's a very diverse community, diverse in socioeconomic and also diverse in race and ethnicity. And we pride ourselves in our diversity and the work we've been doing for the past, I would say decade, but really honing in on the past 5 or 6 years has been our equity work. And I'm just really proud to be a part of the community here. We're actually the first community in the United States to establish reparations for our Evanstonian residents who have been here and have either been marginalized due to like redlining or anything like that. So we passed that, I think it was last year. Goodness, it's already been a year. It's really great to be a part of this community and all the equity work and the work that we've been doing. So.
That's really cool. And clearly, in any diverse community, and really, I think schools all over the country, we are finding the need for interventions and things like that. And so, here comes MTSS, which has been around for a long time. Maybe describe a little bit about your journey with understanding MTSS and kind of maybe part of your educational experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, my journey has really kind of started as a student with MTSS before I knew. I was a bright student. I was a good student, but I did struggle, especially in writing, flipping letters and things like that. And I had some really great educators that really supported me in my growth and my learning, elevated my strengths. They found what I was really good at and used that to kind of help me with my gaps, my areas of need. So I really kind of started as a student, but it wasn't until, I started teaching and I had such a range of learners, as we all do, especially teaching multiple grade levels, just understanding like, all right, I've got some students that are coming in at completely different places and complete with that range and understanding like I have to be able to meet their needs somehow. And it wasn't really until I went back to school for my second master's to get my school leadership that I was actually able to put like a name to what I was doing. Like, oh, I'm doing these things, but I didn't realize that it's really when done well and when done as part of a system really has a way of like moving students and closing that achievement gap.
Well, and I think that you highlighted is when you want to do the things that a teacher does and really meet the needs of your students, you're doing the work of MTSS, of making tiered interventions, maybe not in a systematic way, which is often, those of us who really strive to be a really great teacher and we don't have a system for it can really burn you out a little bit,
Exactly.
But I think that those, when you start to put a name to it and understand, oh, this could be a system that applies to the school level, not just in my classroom, but as the school as a whole. So
absolutely. Yeah. And that's honestly why I wanted to go into school leadership was, you know, being in my classroom and I can control what happens inside this room. And I know what I'm doing is making a difference for kids and young adults. I can see the progress that's happening. But as soon as they walk out my door, I no longer have that same control. Obviously, I have some influence, but not as much. And I realized, like, if I really want to sustain the growth that my kids are making, if I really want to see this, come school-wide, I do need to look at what does system thinking look like? What does that big thinking look like, and how to develop those systems and structures to support educators in doing that work? Because it's hard. You're right. Like, you do get burnt out. You do get exhausted because you're trying to figure it all out on your own. But then when you're part of a system and a structure that's supporting that work and really doing it in a collectivist manner, you're realizing, like, you're not in this by yourself. You have that collective teacher efficacy. You have people to lean on, and the students aren't just getting the little bit of nuggets that they need in your class. They're getting it across the building. And that's where we really see, you know, students moving and that sustained learning. So that's really why I wanted to go into school leadership, was mostly out of my my need to control everything. It's like, oh, I can. And then when you get into school leadership, you realize, oh, you actually don't control much at all.
I was like, how's that controlling everything going?
It's like, yeah, about 2 weeks in, I emailed my old principal. I was like, hey, I'm really sorry for ever thinking I do this job better than you, because, whoa, Lord, it's hard.
Right. Usually on the other side of things, you realize, oh yeah, this is a lot harder than you imagine it to be, you know, because I always thought, as in the classroom, I could have one perspective about how I saw things. And it was really, you know, it can be easy to sit in that seat and maybe be critical or be like, have a cast a judgment about your school leaders. And then when you sit in that seat, you realize, like, I was wrong to do that. And their job is just as hard, different kind of hard than a teacher's job. And the weight of responsibility on that role is a lot bigger too. So,
And I learned as a school leader, I was still applying the same principles that I did as a teacher, because, you know, as a teacher, obviously, like, I had my ways. A lot of it was like problem solving, just like trial and error. Like, this kid needs this. I'm going to try this and see if this works. But even, you know, moving into school leadership, you do the same thing, but with adults. You know, it's, hey, I have a range of educators in my building, some with different strengths, some with different needs. And I have to also provide the correct support for them as well. And so it's the same process of identifying what those needs are and providing that support.
Well, and when you think about it, MTSS is that basis of equity. Like, you're giving Absolutely. People what they need to be successful. And, you know, when I learned about how the MTSS came out of, like, the public health model, and you're like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like, this, of Absolutely. Course, applies in educational ways. And so, you know, it applies in a workplace, in a family too, right? You don't give, you know, everybody the same kind of attention and things like
Absolutely.
That.
So it applies to everything. That's always like my tagline is MTSS is everything. And
I'm writing that down. MTSS is everything.
It's everything. It's absolutely everything. Cause it really is. It, you know, like you said, coming out of that public health model, anytime I'm explaining the MTSS process, I always use the analogy of going to the doctor's office and, mm-hmm. you know, identify the problem. They don't just like hand you a prescription. Like, they're going to ask diagnostic questions. They're going to, you know, give that prescription, then they're going to come back and check in with you. So I definitely use that as a model, and thinking about it from the lens of equity. I have my own little phrase I kind of borrowed from Cornell West, is equity, or MTSS is equity with its work boots on. Cause it is, I mean, we talk about equity and we talk about, you know, what we want idealistically, what we want to see in our classrooms, in our buildings, and in our districts. However, that takes work. And where I think the rubber meets the road, and will always be my answer of MTSS is everything, is MTSS. That is equity that's mm-hmm. work boots on. Giving kids what they need, when they need it, how they need it. Giving adults what they need, when they need it, how they need it. That's mm-hmm. the definition of equity. And so that's always my answer. It's like, oh, MTSS, They're like, oh, we're having custodial issues. And I was like, oh, well, let's MTSS this. Let's go. Let's do the problem solving. Like, it's everything. But if you come at it from everything from a lens of like looking at information, looking at data, you know, identifying and diagnosing a problem, trying something out, that cycle of inquiry, that problem solving cycle, you can literally solve any problem with the same process. Mm-hmm. So if you come from that lens of MTSS, is like MTSS is everything, it becomes kind of your way of thinking.
Before you began this journey of MTSS, and you said it was kind of when you sort of first exposed to it as a student, but even when you started to put the name on it, what was your general feeling about MTSS?
Yeah. I would say at first, and I think any educator, especially any new educator, this will definitely ring true. I was overwhelmed coming in my first and second year, not even realizing just nothing can prepare you for being dropped in a classroom your first few years. You know, it's the same thing like with being a parent. I'm not a parent, but I'm assuming you could be as prepared as you want. But nothing can actually, you can never be 100% ready for when that child gets dropped in there. It's the same thing. And at first it was just kind of overwhelming. It was, I'm looking at a classroom of 32, 33 second graders, and they are completely different areas. And I'm just learning this craft myself, like, you know, and so it was overwhelming at first. But then I just started kind of doing the work in my own way. A lot of it was trial and error. A lot of it was just kind of figuring things out, talking to people, asking questions. But most of it was just like a constant reflection of what's working, what's not working. And let me try to fill this gap. So yeah, it was overwhelming at first. It stayed overwhelming for several years. Because again, if you're doing it in isolation, it is way more difficult than when there's a structure and system in place in the building that supports it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was tough at first. It's still tough. It's never easy. But having, you know, going into a school building with the systems to support what the important work is, you know, that MTSS model definitely made things a little bit easier.
Well, I was going to say, I could see how, I think about that of like when you're your first few years of teaching, and maybe you have that mindset of wanting to give each student what they need when they need it. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that system to back you up, like you will feel like you're on a hamster wheel of constantly trying to meet the needs, and you feel like you're never enough to like really make the difference that you think needs to be made. And it can be really frustrating to be in that spot. But when you're in a system that supports it and everyone around you has that same mindset, or you're driven towards those same goals, and that's the point of your meetings, and that's the point of like, you know, that's the basis of everything that the school is about, it feels freeing almost of like, okay, we can do this, guys, we can do this, you know, like,
absolutely.
It's like you're all rowing in the same direction.
Yes. Yeah. That collectivist approach is definitely the most, well, for me was the most important, because I stood in a classroom, or how many years I've been teaching, I realized I'm not enough. I can't do this by myself. I can't reach the needs of all of my students completely by myself. But I know in the building, I have colleagues, I have co-conspirators that I can talk to and say, hey, can you help me out with understanding, you know, what might be happening here? Or can you help me with the strategy I saw you do with your students? Like, can you help me? Like, what do I do in this situation? How do I actually run a closed reading? You know, I'm a middle school and high school person. So you throw me in a second grade classroom, like, I'm not going to teach anybody how to read. I'm pretty sure I don't know how to read myself. I think I've just memorized a lot of words. So like, I don't know how to do this, but I know that I have a colleague down the hall who does. And so really being able to like lean on other people and deprivatizing our practices.
Deprivatizing our practices.
Absolutely. We are not a building of individual consultants. We are a school building together. And so us working together, you know, fill in my gaps because I have gaps and I need help filling it in. And once I kind of leaned on my other colleagues and opened up my door and figuratively and literally, it became a lot easier because I didn't have to rely solely on myself. There are other people around me who can support me in my learning that then will support my students in theirs.
Yeah, I think that's key. It's a collective system. It's not just one person. So what I'm wondering now is like thinking about the position you are in now, can you think of a story of whether it be an individual student or even group of a student? I know at the district level, it may be different than when you are in a building, but can you think of a story that really like demonstrates the impact that MTSS can have?
Absolutely. There's probably 100 stories I could pull from my pocket. But one that comes up pretty instantly, you know, I mentioned earlier, I did teach in a men's prison, for a while. And I taught like algebra, college level algebra and composition. And basically these were the prerequisite courses that these guys had to take. They had to pass a test at the end and they get college credit for it. But these are the classes they have to pass in order to get to go to more of the higher level courses. And, you know, a big passion of mine is prison education reform. So I was super excited to like, yes, let's go, let's do this. And I was not sure what to expect. It was definitely a culture shock. Coming in, you don't have anything. You're not allowed, like literally no materials. There's a whiteboard and there are markers that I would have to check out every day because you can bring nothing in with you. So no computers, there's no projector, there's no manipulator, there's nothing. They have paper and pencil and you get a thing of markers. They have to check in and check out before you leave. And that's like pure teaching. You can't rely on really anything else, no program, no anything else. It's really just you and your students. And I had 19 students in my class and they range in age from 19 years old to 64 years old. So talk about a range of learners. And, you know, that's the first, it just kind of hit me like, oh my goodness, I got to do all this, like just me and just instructional practices. There's no program that's going to walk me through it. And so I had to understand like one, where are my students? Where are they're starting at? I know what they need in order to pass. I know what they need in order to get this 2 college credits so that they can continue on with their education. But they're coming in from a lot of different prior knowledge, a lot of different experiences. Some had not finished high school, some had gotten their GED, like it's just a range. So I need to understand like what were those foundational skills that they need, but they still had to access college level curriculum and college level texts. And college level work. So it was definitely a testament of and a test for me on like, what does this really look like bare bones without any, you know, basically any safety net? It's me and 19 men in a room with a guard at the door. That's it. That's what you got. And honestly, like they were the ones that really helped me understand what it meant to meet people where they are and really what this work could actually do. It was maybe like the second to last or third to last class. I had one student stay behind for a few minutes. He just said, listen, honestly, like no one's ever explained this with me. No one's ever really taught me in this way. And I feel like if I would have had this when I was growing up, I probably wouldn't have ended up here. And it broke my heart to hear that and to say like, oh my God, like here you are a 19, 20 year old guy who's the next few years are going to be here. And a lot of that came just stemmed from the fact he was kicked out of school and he struggled in school. It's like, that's our work. That's like how important it is and how absolutely just essential it is for us to do our jobs and really see our students for who they are. Because I saw him as a genius. I'm like, you are a genius. Like, you're a genius. You're so smart. Within two times of working with you, I understood, like, he probably, like, has a learning disability and just no one structured it in the way that he needed. And I called back on my teachers. I was like, I'm paying this forward because my teachers took that time to work with me. Like, I got to do this for them. I learned so much in that experience from just like really understanding like what this work can do. And when we're really intentional about, you know, meeting the needs of our kids or of our students in this case, we can change lives. You know, the recidivism rate in this country is 76%, but if you get an education, it goes down to 3%. Like, this is the algebra of inequity right here. And so if we're gonna, and we talked about that, like we went straight to relevancy. We talked about, you know, recidivism rate in algebra. We talked about unfair labor practices coming from prisons and unpaid labor practices. We took things that were happening in the moment and used that as our entry point into understanding, like, here's how you structure an argument and an argument and essay. Like, let's go, yeah. Let's have this debate.
First of all, thanks for making me cry. That's the first on this podcast. I think number one, I think what you pointed out, just that idea that this really understanding your students is so key in, like, especially in younger grades, like the, how much that like domino affects their life. And I think you could talk to anybody who maybe struggled in middle school and high school and can pinpoint back to like a time in elementary that made a difference. And I think about kids that I would encounter in middle school that hated reading. And it was like, because of a situation that happened a few years prior and this one teacher. And I think that really the importance of taking the time to be really intentional about your students. And I think MTSS as a system forces us to do that, really, like, examine, are we giving each student what they need?
Absolutely.
So I love that. And then I also love that you said it was like, this is bare bones what teaching really is. And I think that you're right. We can cloud a lot of things with good programs. I mean, they may be research-based and really solid, great things, but we have this such sense of urgency to make everything happen quicker. And we use technology sometimes in a way that like gets in the way maybe of learning. And I don't know. I just think that that's really being a very intentional about the kind of programs that we use in schools.
Absolutely.
It's very important.
And, you know, something that's kind of helped me in my work, you know, either as a school leader or even as a teacher or as a district leader, is that at the end of the day, it's you. It's the person in front of the kids. Because if a computer program could do our jobs for us, then what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? You know, if a computer could do this the same way, you can't put a measurable, I guess, price on an excellent educator. And those instructional practices are always going to be more important than any program, you know. And having a great program is wonderful. Like, that's a great, but I also have been in a lot of different districts, some that are more resourced than others, and coming into a classroom with 32 kids or 33 kids and only 18 books. It's like, oh, okay. So we don't have some stuff today. Like, I've got to figure out, like, just cause I don't have a lot of materials or I don't have a particular resource and we're just working off of unit plans. Like, at the end of the day, it's my job to get these kids to where they are, whether I have a book or not. And so, like, that experience has really just for me even garnered even more of, it's really about our practices. And yes, those research-based strategies that can be applicable to multiple things, teaching kids how to think, teaching kids how to self-advocate, for understanding their own strengths and their own challenges and their own ability to ask for help. That was a big piece of my learning as a student. And then my learning as a teacher is, like, I need to know what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, because I'm not going to be good at everything. I like to think I'm good at everything, but I'm not going to be good at everything. And that's okay. And how do I learn best? And how do I ask for help? And that didn't really happen. Like my second master's, where I was getting my school leadership, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to do well in this because I need this, this, and this. And to be able to go to my professor and say, hey, this is how I learn, and this is what I need. Help me out. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I am privileged in order to be able to do that. And I want to do that for our kids as well. Because when we talk about MTS as everything, it includes everybody, students included.
Yeah. I think that that's really important to remember, of just like teaching some of those skills of self-advocacy, self-awareness, and how key that is for their own learning. Because, you know, that young man who was like, man, if I had learned this, been taught this way earlier, he may have not even been able to know, like, to pinpoint that until he's 19 or 20, you know, and really like the self-awareness that goes into that.
And I think kind of a callback to what you talked about earlier, like that the other component of MTSS, I think we focus really heavily on that academic, and sometimes we forget about that SEL and that social emotional aspect, that social emotional learning. I think that that ties like directly in, you know, thinking about all that tier one, like how am I creating the classroom that making mistakes is okay? And not only is making mistakes okay, it's actually a great thing because we use it and we learn from it and we learn from each other. You know, how am I creating that environment where kids are good with taking risks? And how do I create that environment where, you know, the student who's typically always the high flyer, which I hate that term, you know, always at the top here, also has to learn that, like, hey, you may not be good at everything, or everything may not come so easily to you. That hit me in the face when I got to calculus and I was like, I'm so good at math. And then I was like, oh, I can still be good at math, but I'm going to have to work a little harder now.
Oh yeah.
and my kind of tagline in my classroom was always joyful rigor. Like if there is no, there has to have joy in the class. There has to be that safe space in order for that rigor to happen.
Yeah. And that, I mean, and I definitely think that that's really important, because joy also gives a levity to learning and making mistakes and learning about yourself. And it helps, I think, you know, in all life, it can be very serious. And I think some kids get really bogged down by a lot of that seriousness, and learning to take things, have a lightness to them, is really important. And, you know, that's important for social emotional learning and mental health and all the things for our students.
And feeling successful.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I need to feel successful at something. I don't want to go into a place every day where I'm not going to be successful, when I know I'm going to walk in there and I'm not going to be good at all this stuff, and I'm going to leave every day not being good at this stuff. I need to know, like, whenever I come into this building, whenever I come into this classroom, I'm going to be successful at something. There's going to be some stuff I'm not good at, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's what my teacher's there for, to help me out. I know how to ask for help, but I'm going to be successful in something. And it might be this successful in the social area. It might be that, you know, success in some things and not others, but like, our kids need to feel successful. We need to feel successful. I can't go to work every day not feeling successful. I can't go to work every day and be in a place where I'm not set up for success, and I don't have the way to go, you know? So we need that as humans to continue to put effort in. You know, motivation is probably one of those overused words in education, but it's basically value times experience. And if we can value education all day, but if we don't have positive experience with it, anything times zero is zero. We're not going to have motivation to do it. So when we give our students those tiny places of where they could be successful, and we're acknowledging that success and reinforcing that, you know, that increases their value for what education is, and their desire to want to try stuff and make mistakes. And it's okay, because I know I'm going to be successful at this certain thing. Got to build that community.
Yeah. So speaking of community, what kind of goals do you have for yourself, sort of within this role that you have in your community, in your school community?
Plenty of people have used this expression, but I'm trying to work myself out of a job. I think that my role is incredibly important in the district, but I also want it to be obsolete. I want my role to be somewhat obsolete, or at least diminished. And the need for this role to be, you know, much smaller. One big thing that, you know, we've done the past few years, is, you know, COVID hit all of us and hit all of us pretty hard. And it made us have to reevaluate our practices and also just like reevaluate resources. Mm-hmm. When you have to go to one-to-one technology, that's going to hit your budget kind of hard. When you're having to worry about all this other stuff. So like it did require us to kind of reevaluate where we were. And we actually did an entire MTSS redesign based mm-hmm. off of like, all right, we have to be able to do more with less. Mm-hmm. And how can we do that in a way that's still going to support all of our kids? And so, you know, we moved from like a reading specialist model to more of an interventionist generalist model, you know, having an interventionist in every building, being a lead of what MTSS is in the building and lifting it from a system and structure lens in every building with principal and assistant principal versus like it all coming through me. Mm-hmm. So now the schools are kind of building that system and structure in their buildings to support that work, you know, with obviously the principal at the helm and the interventionist as that support, so that all of our kids are getting what they need, no matter what building they're in, and less kids are falling through the cracks. Mm-hmm. You know, and that happens a lot more than we would like, to admit. And I had 19 of them in front of me. We have some kids fall through the cracks sometimes, and we want to make sure that doesn't happen. So if we're constantly coming in that lens of like making sure every kid's getting what they need, we're supporting educators and making that happen. You know, we'll have less in that lower, those lower tiers.
Yeah.
So that's really a goal for me.
Yeah. That makes sense. You saying that you want to be out of a job in this, like in the sense of like, it's so ingrained in everything you do. You don't necessarily have to have someone that like is driving that because it's all driven from the ground up. So.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that expression, if it's no one's job or if it's everyone's job, it's no one's job. So it's like, okay, so if MTSS is, if everyone's in charge of MTSS, then no one's actually monitoring it or in charge of it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, you don't really need anybody in charge of it. If it's embedded and ingrained in your practice, MTSS is a process. It's a thing. It's moving, it's living. And if that's embedded and ingrained, if that's just what we do, then it is everyone's job. And everyone is being held accountable to it. Measure what you treasure, you know?
I love hearing you talk about all the work that you're doing and even just your experiences. So today, what's exciting to you about the work that you're doing?
There's a lot of things that are exciting. One big thing, you know, I talked about the intervention redesign. So that's a huge, component. I went from being a department of one for the first few years and now, you know, having an interventionist at every building and really supporting their work has been amazing. It's just such a great group of people. You know, after COVID, we used our ESSER funds and we developed an academic skills center, ASC is what we call them, where we have actually, we hire tutors, like people from the community. And we have, you know, 3 to 4 in every single building. It's about 60 of them total. And they provide high dosage tutoring during the day for our students. Mm. And we started that last year and our data, I knew it was good. I was like, I know it's going to be good. Cause if you do anything with fidelity 5 days a week, like you're going to make some gains, but our data looked really great. You know, we looked at control groups and, just the amount of like acceleration versus remediation, the amount that our students grew, was incredible. And all of that is due to like one, having a structure that supported it, but then two, we have community members, parents, you know, just people who live, who we're like, I want to support kids. I want to do what's right for our schools, but I don't want to get a teaching degree. So how can I do that? You know, for half a day or for 4 days a week, and just watching students learn and grow and move and, was pretty incredible. So we're continuing that work this year. It's our second year. It's been a really great experience and I'm excited to see where it goes.
That's really cool. That's awesome that your community is so involved. Like that speaks a lot to how much they value the school. So, oh man, Donna, there are so many things that I could probably talk to you all day about, but I know your time is valuable. So We don't take ourselves too seriously here at Branching Minds. We love to have a lot of fun. And so I like to end on a fun question about, and as a teacher, I'm sure that you can answer this question. What's your favorite school supply?
Oh, easy. Post-its.
Post-its.
Post-its. Yes. That is one of my, actually one of the things my teachers taught me when I was struggling with writing as a child. Everything is done on post-its. I actually wrote my master's thesis on post-its. Post-its are my favorite. They're everywhere. They're how I organize my thoughts. They are how I annotate. They are everything.
I have so many post-its too.
Many post-its.
And I'm no longer in the classroom, but I have like a stash of them that I like was never everywhere. Used. I always had like a stash of them I was never using.
Oh no, they're going to get used. And actually a few colleagues have found a pattern that I didn't even notice. They'll come in and if they see my desk, they're like, oh, you have a lot of post-its. So you got a lot going on. What do you mean? They're like, oh yeah, we could tell how busy you are by the number of post-its to the right of your mouse. And I was like, okay, y'all. First of all, y'all had to have met and talked about that. But you've noticed a pattern. Okay. It was a pattern I even noticed myself. And they're like, oh, you got a lot of post-its. So we're going to walk away. And I'm like, okay, is that all I have to do is just put a bunch of post-its everywhere?
I do say it's very satisfying to realize like, oh, I don't need that post-it anymore. I can like throw it away.
Oh, yeah.
Like clear off my desk of post-its is a way of like, oh, I'm done with that task. And I mean, I may have written that same task on another list somewhere and keep it digitally, but it's also like, if it's not on the post-it or in front of me, sometimes it doesn't, nothing happens.
Oh, exactly. Nothing more satisfying than crossing something off a list. Oh, man.
Yeah.
If they could package that into like a pill, that'd be great.
I know, right. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today. And it has been a pleasure getting to know you and your story and just your experience in education. And I don't know, I'm just so excited to see the work that you do in your district and to hear more from you. And so, yeah, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of School and Around, hosted by Branching Minds. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. You can find us on our website, branchingminds.com, or connect with us on Twitter or Facebook at Branching Minds. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes and subscribe on your podcast app so that you don't miss out on an episode. Join us next week for another great conversation. Yeah.